Thomas with a flashback track on WRCO-FM, Richland Center, Wisconsin. This is Phil Nee. I hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later with the morning show.
We meet again.
We're at 43 degrees at 9 o'clock, and up next we have our update on the news. It is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games.
This is a special report from ABC News. Hurricane Milton. I'm Sherry Preston. Damage assessment underway across Florida following Hurricane Milton. ABC's Eva Pilgrim reporting from Orlando.
We saw transformers blowing left and right, and there's a lot of power out in the state of Florida. Some 3.2 million households are waking up without power here. Tampa Electric saying 70% of their customers don't have power right now.
That's the sound of work being done this morning in Siesta Key, Florida, where the eye of the hurricane came ashore last night around 8:30 Eastern time. ABC News chief meteorologist Ginger Zee says Milton's not quite done either.
It's moving over the Atlantic now. There are flash flood warnings because this has come with, you know, foot and a half of rain, and there will still be onshore 3 to 5 feet of surge from Cape Canaveral and the Space Coast right up to Daytona and Jacksonville. So that with tidal times could be problematic.
At least 4 deaths so far. This is ABC News. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is traveling through Europe trying to drum up support in the war with Russia.
First stop, 10 Downing Street here in London for talks with the leaders of Britain and NATO about his so-called victory plan. Then off to Paris for more of the same with President Macron. Zelensky will also touch base with the leader of Italy later this week. He had been due to present his blueprint at a weekend meeting of Western representatives in Germany. That's been postponed, with President Biden staying home to respond to Hurricane Milton. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Marriott International will pay $52 million to resolve state and federal claims related to major data breaches affecting more than 300 million customers worldwide. According to the FTC, malicious actors obtained passport information, credit card numbers, and other personal information from hundreds of millions of consumers. Marriott says it's planning to beef up security. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Celebrating the life of your loved one is a commitment all of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service take very seriously. I'm Nick Hodge. We have helped families since 1889 celebrate, honor, and remember the life of a loved one. Our promise to you is to provide service that allows you to be able to say goodbye while finding comfort and healing along the way. And we're available to answer your questions at any time at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police?
Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and learn how to buy a home without needing 20% down.
high of 75 expected for today, southeast to south winds at 5 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 50. Friday, partly cloudy and quite warm, a bit breezy, and a high of 81. A few clouds Friday night, a low of 46. Partly sunny and cooler Saturday with a slight chance of light showers late at night, and a high of 64. Sunday, mostly cloudy, cool, and turning windy. Spotty light showers possible, and a high of 56.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Attention auto mechanics! TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full service automotive repair facility with a fun, low stress, family owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Autoworks, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Unexpected cold showers are the worst. That's the thing about water heaters. They eventually stop heating or they can't keep up with the demand. So when your shower suddenly goes from hot to not, call Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. We provide several brand options and offer traditional or space-saving tankless water heaters. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
WRCO Studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant. Welcome to the community.
We're in the studio today to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and the Richland Hospital, their imaging team. And we have members here today, Director of Mammography, Marcia Jones, and also we have Jessica Shaw here as well. They're both of that department, and glad to have them in here to talk about a very timely and a very important subject. So good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in here today to talk about this. Marcia, we'll start with you because you have been the longest tenured here of the two. How long have you been with the Richland Hospital?
Almost 40 years.
40 years. Wow.
Yes. Mammography was just starting out. We were doing mammography on Xerox paper at one time with blue powder, and you magnetized the plates and you did the x-rays with the actual x-ray tube, and you had the Xerox paper. I always thought it was a Smurf all the time because I was all this blue powder. But so then it changed, and we've got our first mammography machine, and everything kind of changed. We got a different one, and then it became digital, and then now with our new machine is a 3D digital. So it's a tomosynthesis. So much more detail and the information is just wonderful. So
much more accurate, I'm sure, now, too, isn't
it? Yes, it's much better for our patients with dense breast.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine that going back to the Xerox or whatever that was.
That's completely gone.
Back then. Man, that is something. You're here just to kind of get the point across about how important early detection is, correct?
Yes, it is. Early detection saves lives. You want to get, screened early after 40. If you have a, high-risk parent, a mother, say the mother was, 40 at her onset of breast cancer, they would screen that lady at 30, 10 years sooner.
Okay.
So earlier is better for them.
Jessica, at what age should women start to think about getting a mammography?
So the best number is to say 40. It kind of can go, you hear different things, different organizations say different things. Best number we suggest is 40. But like Marcia said, there's different reason to start earlier. It's always important, though, to get that baseline. So there's a lot of people that just, don't really want to do it, which we understand, but having that baseline so that as you age, they know how things are changing as you're aging.
I think it's like a lot of things. We put it off thinking, maybe next year or whatever. It's not something that you always look forward to every year.
No, it's not anyone's favorite thing, but they are quick, in and out in 15 minutes typically. They're not as bad as they get the reputation of. We can speak for our department, but we have 4 great mammotechs that all do a very good job. So,
who are the other mammotechs?
We have Shalise and we have Wendy. They also do mammos with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
You offer 2D and 3D imaging. Could you talk about that and the difference?
Yeah. So 3D is the tomo that Marcia was talking about, which we do on all patients. We do have the ability and at times do a 2D image. The 3D is more detailed due to it's taking multiple pictures, and we kind of describe it as a loaf of bread. So when you look at a loaf of bread from top to bottom, you can, it's straight across. You can see the air pockets in here and there. But when you pull out a piece, you can see, this one actually has a hole in it, how it looks different. So they kind of can roll through the images to see within your breast a little bit deeper so that if there's an area that's would normally be covered up just top to bottom, they can kind of see that. So we do both, but it's usually together. So we'll do a 3D, and if we need an extra picture, we'll just do a 2D image in addition to the 3D.
Patients have a choice then?
They do. They don't have to do 3D. I don't think that happens very often. There are patients that might not be physically able to do a 3D just because of some of the angles. But I don't think I've had anyone ask for a 2D only because insurance covers 3D. So why not? Mm-hmm. Really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't, other than 3D is better. So
the exam is still the same,
basically. For the most part, yeah. Really. I mean, there's some angles of the tubes that sometimes variables on body habitus, with shoulders depending, can get in the way, but we typically would, most people we can still do it on.
The ability to hold still is the big part with 3D. If you got a patient that maybe has MS or has a tremor, sometimes those patients are a little bit harder to get to hold still for that, the 3D mammogram. So sometimes we'll do a 2D image on them just because it's, you can get a better image and you don't have to worry about the patient moving and the tube moving at the same time.
What is the average wait time, Marcia, if someone's going for an exam?
to be scheduled? Or
The average wait time, you know, as for a screening, like if you go there, do you hear the results then that day, or does it, or is it, you know, you get a call later on, or how does that work?
Our images go to UW, One South Park, and they read them, the radiologists read them, and then the report will come back into, you know, our computer. We send a patient a density letter in the mail in about 5 to 6 days. This result, you know, the result goes to their doctor right away, so they get the results from their doctor. And it also goes into the patient portal.
I see. How much is preventative? And you talk about, you know, hereditary for breast cancer, possible breast cancer. Are there some things that you can do in terms of diet and those kind of things, Jessica?
I mean, I think, no, not really. I would say, you know, diet's important in general, you know, that you're more healthy, but there's not that I am aware of anything that's like you need to stay away from to help with that. You know, just like anything, being healthy is beneficial, but it doesn't make or break anything.
So weight doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the likelihood or, you know, the possibility, a higher percentage?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I am aware of. I mean, are you, I haven't heard of any studies that are basing that on that.
You both are wearing pink. And we see that all the time. You know, I make the rounds for volleyball matches, and a lot of these teams are having Digging for a Cure or Pink Nights, but pink is the color for breast cancer, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And you're wearing some nice shirts here today.
Thank you. Yes, and they got the Richland Hospital.
Richland Hospital, the shirts there. So, and that's a nationwide thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, even with NFL teams, you'll see the pink shoes and the, you know, different colors and stuff now for... You know, they always have their pink night and stuff out there. So
proud to wear pink.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of them, you know, the football players, their, you know, grandmas and their mothers had breast cancer, so they all wear it in support of them.
Mm-hmm. And there are lots of fundraisers and you know, nationwide, like, you know, a lot of walks and things going on. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, any cancer, everyone's been affected some way, shape, or form. But I think breast cancer, you know, is just. It's, I think, been looked on a lot longer than some of the other ones, and they've kind of taken and ran with the pink. And everyone knows someone, one way or another, that has been affected with breast cancer.
Yeah, most definitely. And but I think in terms of the cancer, the colors that you wear, I think pink might be the one that people know the best,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, right. For sure.
Yep, because of its visibility and whatnot. So as far as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is the Richland Hospital doing anything special? Do you have anything, any ties with that, to go along with that, and information?
Our patients, when they come in, you know, we do have a few handouts to give them, and shower cards, and we do have, you know, a plantable seed pack to give them in a bag for breast cancer awareness. But we, you know, we just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do our best to... make it known, and we like to thank people too for coming, just because it is important. And I think sometimes it gets a little bit sidebound, just like, you know, there's all these screening things you got to do for everything, and this is our world, so we make sure to thank them, especially in October, for coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly you encourage that at any time, you know, any time of year, but especially in October, that's for sure. I know the hospital's doing some other fun things here. You know, you've got celebrating 100 years. Were you guys involved in the walk that they did in September? Did you get involved in that?
I was working that weekend.
Oh, you had to work
but
that day.
I heard a lot about a lot of people participating, so it sounded like it was a good turnout.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it either. I was signed up, but then found out I... needed to be somewhere else for my kids. So we didn't make it, but it looked like a really good time.
I heard it was a good time.
It
good,
awesome.
Good turnout for that, celebrating 100 years. But there's a free movie night coming up. So
yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Make your plans now. And that's, in fact, this Saturday, gates open at 5:30. The movie starts at dusk at Starlight 14 Drive-In. That's free, right? Everybody? You don't have to be involved with the hospital or work for the hospital or anything.
Nope, it's a community event. Come on out and take the kids out to the movie. And have fun.
Hope a lot of people will certainly do that. A couple of other things about breast cancer screening. We were going to talk a little bit about diagnostic and some of those things and, you know, in those terms. So, Jessica, maybe you could talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so we've been doing diagnostic for 3 years, which has been amazing for the community. There's a couple different ways you can be coming for diagnostic. One, if you come for a screening and you are called back. So there's an area of concern on one or both breasts that they want further evaluated. They'll call them back and we'll do some diagnostic imaging, usually an ultrasound to follow. Or if you find a lump or are having like a pinpointed pain or something just isn't right, we need to do some extra imaging. It's called diagnostic, and we do those on Fridays when we have a breast radiologist. So everything we do is dictated off of what the radiologist wants us to do. So we could go through everything that we do. They may see another area or want further images. So it's really nice to, we do what we need to do, and when we're done, the patient knows if they need a biopsy or they need a follow-up or everything's good and it's just some overlapping breast tissue. So it's been great that we've been able to do that for the community. It saves a lot of extra travel and a lot of cuts down on nerves too.
Yeah, it has to be. To have the radiologist there once a week, Marcia, that's got to be a godsend, isn't it?
It's wonderful because you can run all the pictures past them. They decide if we need anything else. They need an ultrasound. They do the ultrasound. Patients gets the results while they're there. So they like that. And so everything's right up front. And it just takes care of that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Many times, I'm sure it's just precautionary, right, Jessica?
Yeah, a lot of times it isn't cancer. You have those spurts where it seems like there's more, and then like they can be cysts, they can be breast tissue, they can not for sure what it is, you know, and that's where I was talking before about having your screenings and having a baseline and to know what's normal. Because if they see an area that wasn't there 5 years ago, but you've had mammos consistently, they can say, okay, that area has been progressing and now it looks bigger. I kind of saw it there. I do think we need to follow that up, biopsy it, or do follow-ups. So they all kind of run together and work together to find out the end game.
Could there be a cancer present, Marcia, without a lump?
Yes. I mean, you can have a cancer that you don't feel anything, but we come in and we do a mammogram and maybe we find something. That happens. I mean, it's just the way the tissue is, you've got fatty tissue, you've got glandular tissue, you've got dense tissue. So sometimes,
Yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And other times, certainly it's more prevalent.
And you can feel something, but we can't find it. And
right.
Why is that? Well, sometimes, it's just based on that. And sometimes they'll do an ultrasound. Sometimes the patient will have, don't see it on mammo, but we see it on ultrasound. There could be a cyst there. So it's just that's why you use both tools together.
Mm-hmm. The cyst can be removed then at that time if need be?
Or aspirated.
Or do they just go away?
Or it can go away. Or, they may do a 6-month follow-up or they have them come back and we do some more imaging on again and just make sure everything is staying stable.
Mm-hmm. Important that we get the screening done and make that appointment. How far out, are appointments being made right now?
As we have an order, we can get things in. I don't think we're pushed out too far at this point. We're not overbooked. I would say within a month, you could get in, no problem. Depending on schedules and all of, everyone's schedule to put it together. But yeah, as long as we do need a doctor's order in order to do them. But then, yeah, once we have that, we can usually work things pretty quickly.
Are there some taboos about breast cancer, like some things that maybe aren't true that are out there? I mean, a lot of times if you go online, you're going to see things that are going to scare you. And
well, people's friends sometimes don't help very well. They say, oh, you're going to be bruised, or it's just the worst exam I've ever had. It's so painful. And we always say it's uncomfortable, but it shouldn't, you know, it for a few seconds of discomfort, I mean, it's worth it, you know. We don't try to hurt anybody. That's not the plan. But some people think that you're going to get injured or bruised or...
Mm-hmm. Not true. Anything, Jessica, you'd like to add?
No. Like I kind of was saying before, we all do great at, you know, feeling the person out, and we work together. It's not just us against them. If something doesn't feel right, we just need to know about it so that we can try to make it better.
We're doing this test together, not two of you.
It's not as bad as most people. But again, you're not going around talking about how great it was.
Right.
You know, you're going around saying, that wasn't pleasant. So, you know, that's just the...
And some people come in and say, well, that's all there is? Well, that was easy. That was easier than doing a, you know, colonoscopy or something. I said, yeah. So it's, you know, and they compare it to other tests. It is a quite easy, you know, exam, and the information you get is well worth it, so...
Yeah, I can imagine that, but it's like a lot of things. I think if the first time you go in, it probably eases your mind a little bit, doesn't it, Jessica?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, a conversation that you can usually tell, you know, when it's someone's first time and they're a little nervous. And usually at the end, it's like, that wasn't as bad as you were thinking, right? You know, like seriously. And usually... they say, no, that wasn't as bad. And, you know, you have those few that, you know, it doesn't matter. And they're just, it's going to not be comfortable or happy. But I'd say it's usually not as bad as people are anticipating.
Everybody should be pretty good about it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it should be a yearly plan then, or?
That is up to your provider. Some providers like to do them yearly. They know your family history better than we do. So we do not make recommendations that way. We leave that up to their physician, whether they should have their mammograms every 2 years or every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know if it was a part of the yearly health checkup that we should all have anyway then. But I guess to each their own then. From that standpoint,
the providers decide how they want to do their screenings.
We talked about at what age women should start. Do you continue those, you know, into the elderly years and things like that as well?
Well, that's an interesting point. Everybody says, "Well, I'm 70 now. I can quit, right?" And I said, "Well, I guess we always, you know, you look at your age and so you're pretty healthy. You're able to do everything real well. And I guess if we were to do a mammogram and you were to find something, would you treat it? And if you're going to say yes, then you continue to do your screening because your chance of breast cancer does go up as you get older."
Mm-hmm. And again, early detection is the main thing for any cancer, but I think maybe especially for breast cancer, isn't it, Jessica?
Yeah, I'd say so, especially since we have the screening tools. You know, there's a lot of cancers that there isn't screening tools, and and that's extra scary about a lot of them, where this one we can screen it, we can kind of keep up on things, so let's do what we can to maybe take that out of the list of all the scary stuff we got to deal with.
Well said. So talk to your provider first, your main physician?
Yeah, so we do have to have an order in order to do this. So yeah, a lot of times it's from a physical. You know, you go for your physical, they'll put in an order, and then we can go ahead and do that. It just needs to be more than a year for most insurances, which we try to keep track of also. But yeah, we do need the patient to talk to their doctor to get an order. Yep.
That's a good point, too. Most insurances cover this then, Marcia?
Yes, they do. It's just a matter of, like Jessica said, you know, when we have insurances, you know, you need to be, you know, 11 months for Medicare. There are certain boundaries for that. So you just need to make sure we are out far enough that your mammogram is going to be covered, you know, in a timely manner.
The Richland Hospital is hosting a blood drive today. We wanted to put in a plug for that as well, correct?
Yep.
You both are giving blood today, or you're probably working?
Planning on it.
Oh, you're planning on it. Well, that's good. So it goes on from 10 to 3 at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Pippin Hall, appointments encouraged, but certainly walk-ins are always welcome as well. smurthy@impactlife.org is where you go for that to sign up for the blood drive at the Richland Hospital. Well, you two have been great guests. Anything else you'd like to add today?
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us this morning. We appreciate that.
We appreciate you coming in here. Very timely topic, Breast Cancer Awareness Month this time. And stop by the Richland Hospital for more information again on this or any subject that we have on the morning show. We're going to have some more topics coming up from the Richland Hospital as well to benefit our area. Thanks for joining us. We'll have more coming up in a moment.
Tim Walz was raised on a farm in Nebraska. Kamala Harris was born to an immigrant family in Oakland. Tim Walz enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17. Kamala Harris worked at McDonald's to get through school. Together, this team will never forget where they came from and the hardworking families and Americans they're working for.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
And I'll tell you, this is personal. The middle class is where I come from. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. We will create what I call an opportunity economy where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed. Whether you live in a rural area, small town, or big city.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Big Ag has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Congress done? Nothing. Derek Van Orden has gone Washington. He yells at workers, talks down to people, and acts like he's better than us. He's in Congress to serve himself, not Wisconsin. I'm running for Congress to serve you. I'll stand up to Democrats to fight for a secure border, support police, and stop the wasteful spending. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
The Hub City Dirt Rags two-day event will be October 11th and 12th, moving to the Richland County Fairgrounds this year. 2 days of action-packed action. Friday will kick off at 6 p.m. with a truck brush pull, over $8,500 in cash bonus prizes. Also Friday night, watch the challenge trucks on the dyno right in front of the grandstand. Saturday will kick off with a truck showing and shine from 10 until 4, and at 2 p.m., hot action on the drag tracks, with diesel trucks showing off some of the fastest drag trucks in the United States. Admission $20 a day or $30 for the weekend. Kids 12 and under free in the grandstand. Can't wait to see everybody at the Hub City October Diesel Truck Challenge at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Online pre-registration for all drag race classes still open. Check out HubCityDirtDrags.com and truck pullers register on site.
Here is Holly Nelson with an Ithaca Referendum Minute.
Why we are voting yes. Ithaca is a small community that has for many years been built around Ithaca pride. Ithaca Pride to me means six generations of Huff Nelson graduates. It means strong roots for educational success and high student involvement in school and community. It also means intergenerational connections that only can be gotten in small schools. It's about small class sizes, one-to-one help, knowing every student by name. It's about lifelong relationships with dedicated staff. It's about filling the bleachers, wearing purple with pride. It's about celebrating 100 plus years of strong work ethic and roots. It's foundation of why we share so much Ithaca pride. Ithaca is a strong school that has been doing many things right. As a community, voting yes allows this generation and generations in the future to continue to have exceptional education and be given the opportunities only offered in a small school.
This message has no affiliation to the Ithaca School District. Please vote yes in November for Ithaca.
Welcome back to our morning show on WRCO. We're talking about another timely topic. We're up to talk about Bev's Walk. Passage is putting on this, and it's coming up next week, actually Tuesday, October 22nd will be when that's happening. And we're here with the president of the board for Passages, Chris Simonson, and also program manager, Jessica Brown. I think we kind of alluded to this the last time you were on, Chris, but here we are.
We did. When Shannon and I were on together, I don't know, a month and a half ago, we knew Bev's Walk was coming up, but we hadn't cemented a date yet, so we weren't quite sure when it was going to be. We had a couple dates in mind, but this has been set up now for a while. Yeah, it's coming up, as you said, a week from Tuesday, October 22nd, from 5 until 7:30, and it will be happening at the Crosscut Park here in town. Those of you familiar with the Kiwanis Lights, that festival that they do, you know, the drive-through thing, it will be in the same area of the park.
So Bev's Walk, named after Bev Burns?
Named after Bev Burns. Bev was such an important part of Passages for so many years as an advocate for those in need, especially as a legal advocate, working with people when they had court dates, whether it was for a restraining order or whatever. Bev knew what was happening legally for them and would advocate for them and let them know, okay, here is what you are allowed to do under the law, and these are the type of things that we should be requesting of the judge and those sort of things. So Bev was, she was more than an advocate to the people who were most in need, and she was just, again, as I say, such a significant part of Passages for over 20 years.
It'd be interesting to trace her legacy and the number of people that she helped over the years, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be, because the numbers would be in the hundreds, I'm certain, if you were to include, you know, the children that were impacted as well. But yeah, Bev was just a fantastic and dynamic force for those in greatest need at Passages.
I think this is important to get that out, but also get the word out about Passages once again, and keep that in the thoughts for people in the area, right, Chris?
I think you're right. I think COVID affected so many different things within our community, and I think Passages is one of those programs that, again, was adversely affected as a result of some of the things from COVID. There were times when the shelter actually needed to close because all the workers had tested positive or were infected, and so we couldn't really serve them to the way they needed to be served. And it was to the point a while back where we would even hear people say in public, "Oh, Passages is still here," which is frightening. So that shows us that we have work to do in making sure that everybody in our communities is aware that this vital program still exists for those in need.
I think that's why this walk is going to be really important as you look at this, Jessica.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely important for us to get back in the community, let them know that we are still here, but also remembering Bev and what great work she did for our agency.
As Chris mentioned, I heard that rumor a few times, like, oh, Passages is closed or whatever, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
No, we are open and helping victims and survivors every day. We're here to support the community. We have great work going on right now in our Crawford County. We have an amazing advocate there. She is doing great work, and hopefully we are going to be picking back up in the other two counties that we serve.
So what is the area that is served by Passages and some of those outlying areas as well?
So we serve Richland, Crawford, and Vernon County. Those are the three counties that we serve.
Okay. And unfortunately, there is a need.
Yes, unfortunately, there is a need, and we're here to support. So.
And you've stayed pretty busy, it sounds like.
Yes, we are.
People are, you know, this is a benefit, but can people donate year-round as far as monetary gifts and food and those kind of things?
Yep, we're always accepting donations. A lot of times, a lot of paper products is a big one for us, hygiene products. The holidays are getting ready to come up, so having those items available for kids as far as those Christmas gifts and things like that are important as well, so they have something for Christmas morning and things too.
How is the best way to do that, to drop off items at Passages?
Yes. So the best way to drop items off would be at our business office. It's located at 1001 Parkview Drive here in Richland County. It's the Ada James apartment place. That's where our business offices are. You can also give us a call if it's a large donation and you're not quite sure if we'll take it. You can give us a call at the business office and then we can direct you where to take it.
I know there are a lot of sad stories, but I think there are a lot of real positive things that you've experienced during your time as director, correct?
Yep. Program manager.
Yep.
Apologize. So always helping. It's great for us to have the apartment place that we have as well, so that people that come into our emergency shelter can typically transition into transitional housing. And we're able to help them get back on their feet and be able to go be successful like they want to be.
How many apartments do you have there at the facility? Any idea?
18, I believe it is.
18. Wow. Okay. And then in terms of getting them back on their feet, you do some things. You take maybe the next stride to help them find a living place in the area then?
Yep. So after that, we're really trying to work on updating the program a little bit too with the apartments. Currently, so they have transitional housing with us 1 to 2 years. And typically after that, we'd like to try to help them move on to more permanent housing in the community, whether that's buying a home or different things like that. So we're really trying to help support them more to be able to move on to permanent housing after that transitional phase.
I'm guessing it's important to be writing grants. Do you do that continually as well?
I do not. Shannon, our director, she is the grant writer for us. It's actually grant season for her currently. So she is working hard on finding the right grants for us.
I was going to say that's a busy time trying to get that because it's got to be important for your operational expenses, isn't it?
It is important. So we just did have some huge budget cuts through the VOCA grant funding. So with that, we are looking for additional grants and things to make sure that our program continues to where we want it to be.
Are there similar situations Passages? You know, you mentioned the counties that you serve, but around the state, are there some organizations that are similar to Passages?
Yes.
So each community has their own.
Typically, each community does. But after the VOCA funding, some organizations did have to close their doors and things like that due to budgeting. We were fortunate enough that we just took a significant loss. But we're hopeful that things will continue.
How long have you been with Passages?
A little over 2 years now.
Okay. So you came on post-COVID, but still, you know, I'm guessing you were feeling some of the effects at that time as well.
Yep, I came on post-COVID, worked a year with Beverly, and then, so some of the effects are the lack of volunteers that we currently have now. So always looking for volunteers, people that want to step in and help, whether it's helping transport clients or whether it's helping with donations and different things like that.
So if you're going to volunteer, it could be like just a little, just a few hours, or it could be
Yep, it could be just a few hours. We are working on setting up kind of a volunteer training. A date for that is to come, so that they can come and get information on what it is to volunteer at Passages, and how you can support us. It's not always client relationships, you know. It's sometimes just helping go through donations and helping with other small things that we need to.
Are you staffed 24/7 then?
Yes, we are at shelter.
So somebody always has to be there.
Somebody always has to be there. Yep. And somebody's always answering the crisis line as well.
So. Okay. And so volunteers are needed for that at nights and weekends and things like that as well?
We're working on that. Yep.
With the proper training, as Jessica said, once we get the training, that sort of thing can be done. Yes. But volunteering can be, as she said, if we get somebody who has left, some clothes, just going through and washing and sorting and putting them away, it can be pulling weeds. It can be doing some painting of a fence outside or any number of things. So, we have made the decision that we need to reach out to the community and take advantage of the people and the groups that want to volunteer their time, because there are a number of them that have reached out and said, hey, part of what X industry does is we need to volunteer in the community. And so we're looking for places. Would you be interested?
Does Passages team with other entities, like for counseling and things like that as well, Chris?
They don't team with other organizations for counseling, but they certainly communicate back and forth as professionals, saying, hey, this is what's happening with us, and we're not sure if what we're doing is working to the extent that we would like it to. How do you handle this situation or this when it comes up? So there's certainly those kind of relationships, just like when I was teaching, I would call, Randy Minen or Jeff Behrens or Mary Beth or something and say, hey, I'm doing this piece. It says do this. How have you done that in the past? You know, these professionals are doing the same thing with people in their area of expertise.
The key is to try and get people back on their feet, Jessica. And sadly, sometimes, an abuse situation, they'll go back to it. I mean, that's kind of the sad fact of life, isn't it?
Yeah, so that does happen. But also, too, it's our job as advocates to make sure that we have those safety plans in place, right? We're here for no judgment. We're here just to support you. And if that's your decision, it's kind of our job to make sure that we have that safety plan in place, and that you have the resources that you need once you get back if you decide to leave again.
So if someone is at Passages or whatever, I mean, there's not an automatic restraining order, so to speak, right? Or how does that work?
No, typically, a lot of times, once you get to the emergency shelter, we help you with that. A lot of times, they want to do a restraining order right away. A lot of times, we don't recommend that right away, because you are in a safe location. And knowing that you're in a safe location, once you submit that restraining order, sometimes it kind of gives up your address and your location, right, and what county you are in, because we are serving a lot of people outside of Richland County that are coming from other counties.
Chris, did you have something that you wanted to add?
No, sorry, arms are flailing.
And swatting a fly.
We've got a fly here that's wanting to be interviewed.
You're multitasking today.
Yes.
Well, that leads us toward Bev's Walk. And let's talk a little bit about the specifics of this. Maybe, Jessica, you could give us a little bit of the where and when.
Okay, yep. So Chris already mentioned it's going to be on October 22nd. We are going to have food vendors there. We will have Utter Brothers Creamery from Boscobel area. They will be serving ice cream and cheese curds, from what I've been told. We'll have TKO Barbecue, and then we'll also have Monster Cookies from Christy Sunnyside. That was one of Bev's favorite cookies, favorite place for her to stop and have lunch during her work hours. So we're going to have those presented for everybody as well.
You're going to have various things going on. Music, live music as well. How cool is that?
Yeah, so we're going to have the Pink Whiskey Band. They're based out of Prairie du Chien. Our Crawford County advocate helped support find this band in the area. They're donating their time for us to come play. And we'll also have face painting for the kids as well. I have a few ladies that have volunteered their time to come and do the face painting. So It'd be a great event.
How far is the walk then?
We're just doing the Rotary Light pathway. Uh-huh. So not quite sure on the miles there.
Okay.
Yeah, just that loop. And added to that loop for the walk, those of you who have been there, you know that there are some things that were set up by the Brewer Library to put pages from books there. So, you know, you can read stories as you walk through that, and they would change them every so often. We have survivors' stories that are going to be placed along that walk for people to read.
That's awesome. So people can read that. We have the actual survivors there that night as well, Jessica?
So really just want to, kind of why we're on the radio today, is put the request out. If there's anybody that Bev has helped or that Passages has support, or if you're just a survivor and you'd like to share your story for that story walk, that you can email those to me. And then I can make sure they get shared in the post as well. We have a few already, but I need at least 20 stories to kind of fill the post. So those could be emailed to me at jessica@passagesrc.org. And the cutoff for that would be October 18th.
Okay. Then you're going to print those and post them? Is that how that works?
Yep. So then we'll print them. And then the library, they will put those in the story walk post. And then it'll be there for the day of the walk.
Oh, that's great. How long will they stay up there? Will it just be that for that time?
Yep, just for that day. So I do want to give a thank you to the Brewer Library and to Stacy for help and support on this.
You'll have some guest speakers. Anybody that comes to mind that will be there talking that night?
We're working on that, still compiling those. Possibly some of Bev's family will speak. We're still kind of working on that. If not, then us as staff will be reading a few of the survivor stories as well.
Well, you got the opportunity to work with Bev. Any stories or anything that you think of when we bring her name up?
She was just always grateful. She was always grateful. Every morning she came in, always asked how she was, and she was always grateful.
Right.
So, yeah.
She said that even on the phone. She would call me and I'd always say, "How you doing?" And she'd be grateful, you know. And yep. And I've never forgotten about that. That's a word to live by, isn't it, Chris?
It really is. It really truly is. We should all be grateful for even the smallest things. Even in the darkest times, there's something for which we can be grateful. And Bev certainly personified that. Yeah.
Her memory lives on. Why do you get involved with Passages? Why are you volunteering and being the president of the board?
Well, Passages, my wife Heather worked at Passages shortly after we were married. She worked for Family Advocates for a brief amount of time, 6 or 8 months, and then a position opened up at Passages. And so obviously it was a shorter drive from Blue River to Richland Center as opposed to driving all the way to Platteville. And so she was involved in Passages, so I was able to learn firsthand just what a significant place it is and the importance of Passages. So that's always been a special place for me. Our brass quintet played there for a couple of fundraisers during the Christmas season from time to time. The church that I'm involved in, the churches I'm involved with, you know, continue to make monetary donations. And we both Heather and I just feel it's such an important service for the people in need of our community. And when Cindy Rasmussen called and said, "Hey, we've got an opening on the board. Would you be interested?" And first of all, I was incredibly humbled that she would ask me. And secondly, it's, yeah, like, where can I sign up? Sure, I want to do what I can to help.
Is this one of the main fundraisers during the year?
For right now, but we are working on, again, COVID messed up a lot of things for a lot of people. We are in the process of planning a large social activity, much like what was done at the campus years ago when they would do their fall thing and have raffles and auctions and a big meal and things like that. So our committee is working on reestablishing that, especially now with the financial needs that are in front of us. But that'll be one of the things to help get us out into the community and help us financially.
For this night, for Bev's walk on the 22nd, then, will there be some places where people can donate at that time as well?
I am guessing so. If you know, maybe something where you can drop in some pocket change, but certainly there will be business cards there if anyone would like to make you know, a significant contribution. You know, here's the address to which you can mail things. But yes, certainly.
Indeed. And it's all free, right, Jessica, in terms of entering this and everything?
Yes, the event's all free. We did have a registration link up for T-shirts. It did end yesterday at midnight, just because they got to go through the processing and making those T-shirts. But we will have a few this year that will be available to purchase a T-shirt if you would like once you get to the table, probably limited sizes. But the event is free for the community. All donations will go to the Grateful Scholarship that we created in memory of Bev, which helps local high schoolers with a scholarship for college.
Oh, that is awesome. I did not know that you did that. So have you done that the last couple of years then?
So just last year was the first year that we submitted a scholarship, and we was able to give $500 to a student to help with their college goals. So every year we plan on to continue that through the Richland High School to be able to support students that may need the financial need.
The other thing that we want to emphasize is that Passages is not just a women's shelter, is it? You serve men as well.
We do, yep.
That's another common fallacy that I've heard over the years, but you do?
Yep, we do serve men as well. You know, we have actually had more men survivors that we've served in the last few years than typical. So in the community or in shelter, yes, there is a need for all genders to be served.
Oh, we're grateful to have you in the area. And I use the word grateful again here. So anything else that either of you'd like to add about Bev's Walk?
I want to throw this out. I'm going to put Jessica on the spot here. She will be traveling to Missouri this weekend to speak at the Strong Enough Women's Conference. She was asked to present there, which I think speaks well of her and the work she's doing. Do you want to speak about that for just a little bit? I don't think that's unfair for you to tell the people just what you're doing.
Right. Please do.
Okay, so I went to this conference 2 years back, and so it's a conference of empowering women and supporting them through their own goals of what they've survived and different things like that. So I was asked to speak this year, so I speak on Sunday. I get 30 minutes on the stage, and I get to tell who I am and my life story and what I've overcome. So there'll be 200-plus women there, so it's going to be good.
And you were nervous about coming on the morning show. You're going to be facing 200 people on Sunday.
It's okay. Yeah, yep. You made it easy, though. Thank you.
You've done a great job. Anything you'd like to shed a light on in terms of your speech or your story?
Actually, I will kind of share a little piece. I actually came through Passages 8 years ago myself, and now I'm on the other side of the table, and I'm able to support people in the community the way Passages supported me. So really just being able to speak my story on Sunday is going to be good to share. So.
Wow. And when you speak to somebody at Passages, you know what they're going through a lot, don't you?
Yep. Yes, I do. Yep. So I kind of know what they're going through. In our profession, we don't really typically share our story because it's not about us. But being able to be empathetic and all those things like that, I believe makes things great. So.
You can truly relate.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, you guys, for coming in today.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
We'll keep promoting Bev's Walk, Believing Every Victim, Tuesday, October 22nd, 5 until 7:30 at Kroska Park in Richland Center. We hope people will come out and about and enjoy that event here, one of the great ones in our community, and get more word out about Passages, a program for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault right here in Richland Center.
Hi, let me tell you a story about a 10-year-old boy growing up in a small town. His parents were divorced, and the boy lived with his mom, who worked hard to provide. Each day, the boy walked home from school, dropped his books off, then headed next door to help his neighbor in the garden. There, the boy listened as his neighbor told tales of honor and bravery in World War II. It was in that garden where the boy's dreams took root. dreams of serving his country and farming the land. I'm Tony Kurtz, and that boy was me. I went on to serve 20 years in the U.S. Army and establish my own farm. Today, I'm honored to represent my neighbors in the legislature. I want everyone to be able to pursue the American dream, but I know that dreams don't start in a big building with marble columns. They start in our neighborhoods. That's why I've worked hard to push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in roads, schools, and hospitals while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. On November 5th, I ask for your vote so that we can achieve even more.
Happy fall from Rockwell Automation. This harvest season, we'd like to thank our farmers for everything you do to keep our community strong. On behalf of all of Rockwell, thank you. We look forward to seeing everyone this month at the Canyon of Lights Parade and the Trick or Treat Trail in the park. Be sure to stop by the Rockwell booth on October 25th for some delicious treats.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Want to give your house a new look? Whether it's one room